Welcome back to Shift with Beth. I'm your host, Beth. How are you guys doing? I want to start doing something a little different at the beginning of these episodes because my brother-in-law, Jilson, he's married to my brother, Walter. He listens to tons of podcasts and he's been such an incredible support to me, like with this podcast, but also just in my life. And he gave me some feedback. He said, I'd love to hear more of you at the beginning, like what's going on in your life so we can feel more of a connection to you. And I love that. I love feedback because, again, I'm learning how to do this. And so I'm going to start sharing a little more. I just got back from my advanced training for somatic experiencing in San Francisco, and it was amazing and also really challenging. It's 6 days straight, long days, new instructor, almost all new people. So the first years of a somatic experiencing, you're encouraged to stay with the same cohort. And I did that. I did mine in San Diego. And those people become so close to you. You're seeing them every 3 months about, and you see them for 4 days straight. And you're not only learning deeply about trauma, but you're also working with your own trauma because you practice at the end of the day, at all the trainings every single day. So this time was new, walking into a room where I didn't really know anyone except a few people that were there from my cohort. And being new again, being seen by new people, that brings stuff up. So, a big part of the training for somatic experiencing is practice. So, you're either the practitioner, so like the therapist, the practitioner, or you're the client. And then you also observe a session and you spend the last 3 hours of each day on practice. And what they wanted you to bring something to work on for this advanced week. And so I chose to work on feeling safe to be more visible and more seen, which feels really aligned with where I'm at right now. Since launching this podcast, I've realized how vulnerable it is to share. Like I'm telling real stories, I'm talking about things that matter so much to me, and anybody can listen to it. So there's still those parts of me that are like, is this too much? Am I saying it right? Who am I to be doing this? Like that imposter syndrome still comes up. So that's been my work, learning how to be in my full expression and letting myself be seen in that. My plan after launching this podcast was to show up more on Instagram, and it's actually been the opposite. So that's what I'm working on right now, and it's a work in progress. But something that was really cool that happened in the training was being able to share that I have a podcast with people. So a lot of people are working through really deep traumas, and these sessions are about 45 minutes each. So you're witnessing a full session, you're the client working through your stuff for a full session, and then you're the practitioner. And so a lot of stuff comes up for people, which is amazing and also can be a lot to hold. But what was cool is if like someone was working on something with their inner child, I could share with them at the end, like, hey, I have a podcast. I have an episode on this. Go listen to it. And I actually got feedback from some of the people coming back to me saying, I listened to it last night. That helped me so much. Thank you. I want to listen more. And it just reminded me how powerful this work is. A podcast can truly reach people in a way that's really intimate and real. So, with that being said, I just want to say if you're here, if you're listening, thank you. It actually means a lot to me, and I really would love to connect with more of you. I would love to hear from you. What's resonating? What do you want more of? What topics would you want me to talk about? Because sometimes it feels like you're putting things out there, you're doing a lot of work for these kinds of things, and you're not really sure like what people are hearing and what's landing. I do get messages, and when I do, I love them. And there's never too much feedback. So if something's impacted you, if you want to hear about something, please send me a DM. I'd love to connect. So the podcast episode today, it's something I have been wanting to work on. And so it's been really cool to dive into this. And we're going to talk about boundaries and how boundaries truly are one of the greatest acts of self-love. And learning about boundaries really has completely changed my life. I didn't even know what a boundary was for most of my life. And it's not because I was in some big crisis, but because I had never been taught that I was allowed to have them or what they were. I was a people pleaser. Anyone else? I did what I was thought I was supposed to do. I showed up how I thought people wanted me to show up. I kept the peace. And I didn't really question it. It was just a way of being. And it wasn't until I started listening to a life coaching podcast that I was introduced to this idea that I'm not responsible for making other people happy. Like, what? I remember thinking, wait, I don't have to do things I don't actually want to do. And that alone felt life-changing. And I kind of laugh when I say that now, because if you go back to my very first episode, I talk about how podcasts completely changed my life. And it's really true. So it's actually really cool in preparing for this episode to realize this is also where I learned what a boundary even was. And what's wild is I've been practicing these boundaries for over 10 years now, but I went my entire life before that, not even knowing they existed. So I want to ask you, do you know what a boundary is? Do you know how to set one? Where did you first learn about it? Just getting curious. I also started learning about people pleasing. And I always thought being a people pleaser meant you were kind and you were easy and it was so selfless. But what I learned completely flipped that. People pleasing is actually about trying to control how other people feel so that you can feel okay. So it's saying yes when you mean no. It's telling people what they want to hear. It's avoiding the truth to avoid your own discomfort. And I remember hearing this idea that people pleasers are actually selfish. And I was like, wow, okay, I feel called out, but it made so much sense. Because really, it wasn't actually about them. It was about me trying to control the outcome so I didn't have to feel uncomfortable. So learning this, along with boundaries and so many other concepts, is actually what began to shift a lot for me. Because for the first time, I started making decisions based on what felt true for me, not what I thought I should do, not what would make everyone else happy, but was what was actually aligned. And that's where this work begins, learning how to trust yourself enough to choose yourself. So this is where everything started to click for me. Once I understood that I wasn't responsible for making other people happy, I started to see how much I had been abandoning myself. And that's really what a lack of boundaries is. It's self-abandonment. So let's define this. I think a lot of people get confused. A boundary is not something you place on another person. A boundary is a decision you make about what you will and won't participate in. It's about your behavior. It's about your response. It's about what you will do to take care of yourself when something doesn't feel good. So where people get it wrong is they think a boundary is telling someone what they can or can't do. You can't talk to me like that. You need to stop doing that. You shouldn't treat me this way. That's not a boundary. That's an attempt to control someone else. A boundary sounds like, if you speak to me that way, I'm going to leave the conversation. If this continues, I'm going to step away. I'm not available for that. Do you feel the difference? One is trying to change them. The other is taking responsibility for yourself. And this is why so many people feel like boundaries don't work, because they say the boundary, but they don't follow through. They're still waiting for the other person to change. But the power of a boundary is not in what you say, it's in what you do. And this is where everything shifts. Because now you're not dependent on someone else behaving differently in order for you to feel okay. You know what you're going to do, and you trust yourself to follow through. That's where self-trust is built. And something important I want to say is that when your boundaries are repeatedly getting crossed, it's really easy to get angry at the other person, to think they don't respect you, they're not listening, they keep doing the same thing over and over again. And trust me, I've been there. I've been in a situation where someone in my life did not care about my boundaries. They would literally just trailblaze right through them. And then I would get so angry because in my mind, I was thinking, why aren't you respecting this? Why aren't you listening to me? And then I also was told that I was mean for setting boundaries, that I was difficult, that I was the problem, that I was changing. And the truth is, I was changing. But the change was that I didn't have boundaries before, and that person benefited so much from me having none. So, of course, when I started trying to set them, there was a lot of pushback. And I feel like this is something people don't talk about enough. It is extremely difficult to set boundaries with someone who is used to getting their way, because they're not just going to suddenly respect them. There's going to be resistance, there's going to be testing. And so, a lot of times, I would cave because I didn't really know how to enforce my boundaries, or I felt really worn down. It felt so exhausting. to fight about my boundaries. I started questioning myself, am I being mean? Am I overreacting? It was really a confusing place to be for a while. And that's what it's like when you're doing something new. It's you're breaking an old pattern. And so it's really, really confusing and uncomfortable. Are you enjoying this episode? I hope so. If you're finding this content helpful and want to learn how to implement these tools, teachings, and practices into your daily life with the support of a safe community, I really want to invite you to check out the Shift membership. This is a monthly membership subscription that includes a monthly hot seat coaching call with me personally, where you can connect with me live on Zoom and ask questions to get support. We also do one monthly live breathwork session for the community, so you can experience all this work together. If you're curious and want to learn more, be sure to check out the link in the description of this episode or by going to shiftwithbeth.com/membership. All right, let's get back to this episode. But what I eventually realized was this: my anger wasn't helping me because I was expecting someone else to change so that I could feel better. I was expecting them to respect and do what I felt like they should do. And that's not where my power was. My power was in asking, what am I going to do when this happens? Am I going to follow through? Am I going to hold the boundary even when it's uncomfortable? Because a boundary can only continue to be crossed if you don't enforce it. And I say that with so much compassion because learning that is not easy, but it is empowering. Once you can take that ownership, you stop waiting, you stop hoping, and you start choosing. And that's when everything can shift. Not because they change, but because you do. And this is the part, again, that people don't talk about enough. Holding a boundary, especially if you're not used to it, can feel really uncomfortable in your body, in your nervous system. Like, really uncomfortable. Your heart might race. You might feel anxious. You might feel the urge to go back and fix it or explain more why you need it so that the other person can feel better or that they can feel like you're a good person. So, this doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means your nervous system is activated because you spent most of your life keeping the peace. Am I right? Being agreeable, making sure everyone else is okay. So, your body learned that that's what's safe. So when you do something different, like setting and holding a boundary, your body goes, this isn't safe, even when it is. So this is where the real work is, not just setting the boundary, but staying with yourself when your body wants to abandon it. So this can look really simple, like taking a breath instead of reacting, letting the other person be upset, like not rushing to fix it, maybe not sending up that follow-up text or softening what you said. Just sitting with the discomfort. And what does that look like? Literally sitting there, feeling it in your body, letting yourself know that it makes sense that you're feeling uncomfortable, and just be with it. Where do you feel it? Because this discomfort doesn't have to last long if you actually allow yourself to feel it. And then you can bring yourself back to the truth. You're not actually unsafe. This is just something unfamiliar. So the more you hold that line, the more your body starts to learn, I can do this. I can handle this. I can be okay even if someone is upset with me. More self-trust comes from this. So you're not avoiding discomfort, but you're staying with yourself through it. So how to set a boundary? How do you set a boundary? You got to get clear on what doesn't feel good and then decide what you will do if it continues, communicating it clearly and following through. Because without follow-through, it's not a boundary, it's a request. And here's where people mess this up. They over-explain. They try to make the other person okay with it. They might say the boundary once, but don't hold it. Or they collapse the moment there's a reaction from the other person. And let's talk about what you do when your boundary's crossed. You gotta follow through. You don't have to argue. You don't have to over-explain. You just do what you said you were going to do because that's how you build trust within yourself. So, boundaries aren't just something you say, they show up in everyday moments. So, thinking about work, you can say things like, I don't have capacity for that today, or I'll respond to this tomorrow. Like with your kids, you can say, I've already answered that. I'm going to step away until we can talk respectfully to each other. Maybe with your partner, letting them know that you need some space. With friends, not always wanting to go out, I'm not available. So notice none of these are about controlling the other person. They're about what you will do. And sometimes boundaries don't sound like words at all. Sometimes they look like not rescuing. So I had this come up with my son. He was struggling to get up in the mornings without me. He's 14. So I'd have to continue to make sure he was awake, waking him up two or three times. He was not making his lunch, was running late, and of course he's fully capable of doing all these things, right? But I found myself stepping in, rescuing over and over again. And I had all the reasons why I wanted to do this. I only have him half the time. So there's part of me that is like, well, I want him to feel loved. I want him to feel supported. And I know he likes this, and sometimes it's just easier to do it. But what started happening was I was feeling resentful and frustrated. And I don't want to feel that, right? That was my signal, because resentment is usually a sign that there's a boundary missing. So I had to look at this like really honestly. This was not about him. This was on me, because I hadn't taught him. I hadn't held boundaries. So of course he expected me to keep doing it. Like, who wouldn't like that? I had to take accountability for that. Like, the frustration I was feeling was actually with my own self, and it was my responsibility if I wanted to change this. So I sat down with him and I explained it all. I told him what was going to change and why, and not from a place of frustration with him, but from a place of love for me and him, because I want him to be capable. I want him to trust himself, and I want him to grow into someone who can take care of himself. And guess what? He didn't like it. He would still much rather me do everything for him. That's what he's used to. And this isn't just about like mornings. This is about a lot of other things. But this is where the real work was for me, being okay with him not being happy about it, being okay with his discomfort, not jumping in to fix it, and sticking to my boundaries, because I know what I'm doing. I'm empowering him, and I'm showing him what it looks like to have a mom who honors herself. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to help him with anything. I love helping my kids. It just means when I do help, it's coming from a true yes, not obligation or guilt, right? Because when we give from obligation, it leads to resentment. And then that resentment leads to disconnection. And that's not what I want in my relationships. I want connection. And a real connection comes from honesty, like from choice, from not overgiving. And so sometimes the most loving thing we can do is not step in, not fix, not rescue. That's a boundary too. And, for him too, I'm thinking, I don't want to create this for your future relationships, your future partner, like thinking that they need to do everything for you. Like, that is not okay. So boundaries can always come from a place of love. I think people look at it like, oh, we're so mean, or we have to be angry about it. That's not what needs to happen. Most of the time, anger comes when you don't set the boundary. So here's another example that is really common that I've worked with on clients a lot is, like, say your mother-in-law shows up whenever she wants and you feel annoyed every time, but you never actually set the boundary. But you, so this resentment is building for you and you're having all these negative feelings. We make it about them and that they should know this, or whatever goes on through your mind, but the boundary is ours to hold. And what else happens? We drain our energy complaining about them. We create a disconnect. And it's not her fault. It's yours for not communicating. And, doing this when you haven't ever done it before, it can feel really scary, because you're worried about, your mother-in-law's response. If you say, hey, love for you to come over. I'm asking that you let me know, send me a text or call me and let me know so we can make sure that it works for us, right? So what do you do when, if mother-in-law doesn't support that boundary, just shows up, you get to decide. So setting the boundary before, if you show up, I'm not going to answer the door. And that can sound really harsh, but that's what you got to do in order for this like cycle to stop. And with that being said, this is where we kind of get deeper once you set the boundary. You have to be okay with people being wrong about you. They might think you're selfish. That's okay. Ask yourself, is that true for me? Am I selfish? Because what matters is what you think about you. We can't control what other people think about us. And so this is part of the courage that it takes to honor what feels good to you and let go of other people's opinions. So with boundary work too, it comes back to this, like, I'm not going to do something I don't want to do just to manage how someone else sees me, because that's not authenticity. And authenticity is so important to me. And that means when I say yes, it's real. And when I say no, I trust myself, and other people can trust me too, because I do say no sometimes. And when I decide to go somewhere, it's because I want to be there. I am present, right? It's not from a place of people pleasing or trying to control what other people are thinking about me or that they think I'm a good person, because I know that I am. So other ways that we allow our boundaries to cross that you might not think about it being a boundary is laughing at something that's not funny or agreeing with something when you don't actually agree. And those moments really, they do matter, because that's where self-trust is built or lost. Okay, I want to talk about physical boundaries. So do you hug people when you don't actually want to? And do you make your kids hug people? And I'm saying even grandparents, aunts and uncles, like, this used to be me, and I want to slow this down for a second, because this is something that really shifted for me. I learned so much about physical boundaries through my somatic experiencing training, and it was so eye-opening, because we're taught that hugging is polite. Give grandpa a hug, don't be rude, say hi. And I used to do this with my kids because I thought that's what you should do. I have a kid that has never really been comfortable hugging everyone. And when she was little, I would make her, at least grandparents or whatever, because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. I thought that was teaching her to be polite. But what I understand now is when we force that, we're taking away their autonomy. We're teaching them that their body doesn't actually get a say, that someone else's comfort matters more than what feels true for them. And if we don't teach this, we unintentionally teach our kids to override themselves to make other people comfortable. This is where self-abandonment starts. It's a big deal. And so I also started looking at myself, because I kind of labeled myself as a hugger. But I had to ask myself, is that actually who I am? Or is that who I was conditioned to be? And what about the other person? Do they want a hug? So now it looks different. Now it's about consent. Can I give you a hug? It's about choice. And you can say hi however you want. You don't have to hug anyone. And what I've seen is when kids are given that autonomy, they actually learn something much deeper. They learn what a yes feels like in their body. They learn what a no feels like. And they learn that they're allowed to honor that. And that's what boundaries are. It's not just about saying no. It's about knowing what's a yes and what's a no for you. And I'll be honest, shifting this has felt really good. Like, I didn't even realize this was a thing. Not just for my kids, but for me, because now it's not performative, it's real. I really check in with what my body wants. That's how we learn how to trust ourselves. And this is how we teach boundaries, not just through what we say, but through what we allow, through what we model. Through whether we honor someone's no, even when it's inconvenient. Because when a child learns, I'm allowed to say no to what doesn't feel good in my body, they grow into an adult who knows how to set boundaries, who knows how to trust themselves, who knows that they don't owe anyone anything. And that is empowerment. Another big one, telling the truth. So instead of saying, I don't want to come, we say, I'm busy, I have a lot going on, I'm exhausted. We make excuses to try to look better. And listen, I've done this too in the past 4 years. But when you really look at it, that's not the truth. That's you, again, trying to control how the other person sees you. You're trying to soften it so they don't think you're selfish, so they don't get upset, so they don't judge you. But in doing that, you're out of integrity. And that's where it gets important, because when you're out of integrity with yourself, you feel it. You feel the misalignment, you feel the tension, you feel the internal conflict. And a lot of times you don't even realize that that's what it is. You just might feel resentful or drained or frustrated or really disconnected from yourself, because you said yes when you meant no. You showed up when you didn't want to. You agreed when you didn't actually agree. And your body knows, even if no one else does, you do. So over time, when you keep doing that, you stop trusting yourself because you're not telling the truth. You're not honoring what's real for you. And self-trust is really what is built on honesty. So boundaries are not just about saying no, they're about telling the truth and being willing to let the truth stand without trying to manage how someone else responds to it. And when you start telling the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, you come back into alignment with yourself. That's where your power is. There's nothing better than really feeling alignment with yourself. Boundaries can show up with money, giving when you don't want to, and then feeling resentful. That's self-abandonment, right? There can be a story that, say, you have a lot of money, but you don't give, and someone thinks that you owe that to them, right? And then you might question yourself and feel like because you have it, you should, right? But when you give from a true yes, there's no resentment. So let's just pause for a minute. Notice what's coming up for you, what boundaries look like in your own life right now. Slow it down. Where do you need to work on this in your own life? And boundary work, it takes a lot of practice. So another thing I wanted to talk about was internal boundaries. Because boundaries are not just about other people, they're about your relationship with yourself. So, not overriding your needs, not saying yes when it's a no, not abandoning yourself, because you really can't hold external boundaries if you don't have internal ones. And sometimes internal boundaries are really subtle, like that laughing at something that's not funny or agreeing when you don't agree. Those moments are small. One more place that I feel like it's safe to say every human could have boundaries with is our phones. Scrolling when we're exhausted, responding when we don't have the capacity, checking your phone like first thing in the morning, and immediately going into everyone else's world before you've even checked in with your own self. It can seem small, but it's really not because this is happening over and over again throughout your day. So I want to break this into two parts, how you relate to your phone and how you use your phone. So first, how you relate to your phone. This is about internal boundaries. Not responding right away just because you saw the message, letting yourself wait until you actually have the capacity. Sometimes this looks like putting someone on do not disturb if that feels better for your nervous system, or blocking someone if that's what you need. Just choosing what feels aligned for you. And because someone has access to you doesn't mean that they get immediate access to you. That can be your boundary. And then there's also how you use your phone, which is more external. Putting your phone down when you're with your kids, when you're with your partner, when you're in conversation, being present. So, again, not reaching for your phone first thing in the morning, giving yourself space to check in with you before you check in with everyone else. And also noticing, like, when you're using your phone to escape the mindless scrolling, the numbing out, avoiding what you're feeling. And again, no judgment. This is something that I have to work on all the time. But awareness, because every time you do that, you're choosing disconnection over presence. And this is where it all ties back. Boundaries are not just about other people. They're about your time, your energy, your attention. And your phone is one of the biggest places that gets taken from you if you don't consciously do the work to protect it. And when you start setting boundaries here, even small ones, you feel it. You feel more present, more grounded, more connected to yourself. Because you're no longer constantly giving yourself away. I want to say something about difficult people and setting boundaries with them because this matters. Some people understand your boundary or they may not, but they just simply don't care. And in those situations, you don't need to explain it better. You just need to enforce it. Pull back your energy, less access, less engagement, more distance. And that's not punishment, although they might say that it is. That's self-respect. And when you start living this way with boundaries, something shifts. You feel grounded, you feel clear, you feel free because you're no longer abandoning yourself. So again, boundaries are not about pushing people away. They're about making sure you never push yourself away again. They are one of the greatest acts of self-love. And I just want to close with this. Learning how to set and actually hold boundaries has been one of the most freeing things in my life. Because I'm no longer trying to control other people. I'm not trying to get them to understand me or agree with me or be different. I let people do what they're going to do, and I trust myself to decide what I will do in response. And that's where the freedom is. Freedom from over-explaining, freedom from giving my energy away. And I don't have to judge someone else for how they show up. I just get to choose how I'm going to show up for me and follow through with that. It's no longer abandoning myself to keep the peace. It's honoring what feels true for me, even when it's uncomfortable. This is really true. You can't fully love yourself if you don't have boundaries. Without them, you will keep choosing other people over you, and that is not self-love. So if this is something you're working on, just know it's a practice. Every time you choose yourself, you build that trust. It gets easier and easier as you learn and you practice. Thank you so much for being here with me. This episode means a lot to me. And if it resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. And if you feel called, leaving a 5-star review really helps this podcast reach more people. I appreciate you being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.